Let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in and out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots training camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. It's supposed to be tough. It's the NFL. It's training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
Last day of July. It was also the second day of Patriots training camp 2009.
And Andy almost
Hart
took a header. Wow. Your first podcast of training camp was almost your last
over there.
Ever.
I think the storm that's blowing through Foxborough has me on edge.
Apparently, yeah. Day two was sort of a mirror image, fellas. By the way, Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly, joined by assistant editor Andy Hart and editor Paul Perillo. A mirror image of day one, where we were run off the field in the morning by a thunderstorm, had nice weather for the afternoon. Today, we had decent weather in the morning and just escaped, as Andy said, another torrential downpour in the afternoon session. It's been an interesting start.
A little
to
bit of everything
camp.
For four practices. A little bit of everything.
Bill Belichick was looking,
lightning, thunder, wind, rain, sun.
He scheduled seven straight days of two-a-days. He was looking for any sort of weather that Mother Nature could bring, and so far she's bringing it.
And as usual, Bill is prepared.
Yeah,
this is what he expected.
Mm-hmm. Cue the clouds,
and
cue
even
Bill
today,
wrapping up practice.
What I thought was interesting, in the middle of some two-minute work late in practice, they finished the drill. It got really dark. He brought the whole team together, mm-hmm. and they started dispersing. I think some were probably going to stick around to do some extra work, but could not have been better timing. Within 5 minutes, it rained, unlike you'll see very many rainstorms.
This morning's practice.
Armageddon.
This morning's practice, again, like yesterday, there were some players who were there, who weren't there in the afternoon, and vice versa. Let's quickly go over some of that, guys, shall
okay.
we?
Okay.
Andy?
Oh, you want me to do
it? Do you have
it?
Your list there in front of you?
Sure.
Run them off for us.
Not here for the morning session. 61.
Al Johnson, Steve Neal.
Oh, you want me to say the names? Ryan O'Callaghan, Matt Light, Randy Moss, Myron Pryor, Richard Seymour. Then from the list, guys, Brandon Tate, Rich Ornberger, Mark Lavore, 69,
Daryl Richard,
Daryl Richard,
Ty Warren, and Sean Crable.
I got to be honest with you, I was stunned that you got Myron Pryor.
60, 61, and 68, which is Johnson, Neal, and O'Callaghan, and Seymour were guys that had missed the conclusion on Thursday, also
right.
missed the morning session today, excuse me. But Sean Springs, who'd missed the first day of camp and reportedly was ill, had a sickness
right.
he was dealing
non-football
with,
injury.
Non-football injury, was back out there for the morning session, as were some other guys, Richard Seymour and types. But
right.
Then in the not Richard Seymour, Teddy Bruce.
Then in the afternoon, Paul Perillo.
Yes.
We had, you want to go over that list for us, if you could.
In the afternoon, those that were back included Matt Light, Stephen Neal, and Randy Moss, but those missing were, for the first time, Jonathan Wilhite, which I thought was a little interesting. He'd mm-hmm. been getting a lot of work, and Andy pointed out during practice, not good. Not a good sign, because he's a guy that's been involved in a lot of different packages, and he's pressing for maybe even a starting job. So any time that he misses is valuable. Teddy Bruschi, Al Johnson, Ryan O'Callaghan, Myron Pryor, Richard Seymour, Jarvis Green, and Joey Galloway.
So Seymour absent for both sessions today.
Indeed.
And for the
so that's three practices
the second
he
one
missed.
Yesterday. So no, three in yes. a row. Three practices in a row. We've not seen Richard Seymour. Raise any eyebrows to you guys?
Yeah. I mean, it's more than a...
You don't get a veteran.
Even Moss
three
is
practices.
Two of four
yeah.
and appears to be on some sort of managed schedule from Belichick.
Right, because he was out there doing everything.
When you
today.
Come to one and miss the next three, that doesn't feel like any type of managed schedule or rehab or anything, monitoring mm-hmm. of anything. That feels like a tweak or something of that nature.
Right. I was starting to get a little bit worried about guys like Steve Neal and Matt Light, especially since Neal has the injury history here. And Light in training camp has had that problem, too, where he's missed several days early on, and then he sort of comes on at the end. But those two guys came back today. Seymour, I thought, was a little bit interesting.
Bears watching in the next few days to see how that plays out. The
yeah,
longer
yeah.
it goes.
And it's always difficult to sort of forecast these things. You know, with a guy like
just
Will
like
Height,
the weather around here.
With a guy like Will Height, we can sort of say, all right, well, he's a young guy. He needs the reps. So we're not really a lot of speculation involved. But with guys like Seymour and Bruschi and Light, it's a little bit more difficult. Now, Seymour, three practices in a row, whereas Bruschi and Light have sort of been two out of the four. They've been on again, off again, on again, off again. And at the beginning, did we mention that Sean Springs was back? Okay,
yep.
We had that one in there.
Yep.
And
just doesn't listen.
Just completely gassed by the end of the second practice today. So
yeah, they were doing
looked
the
like he's dealing with an illness.
Yeah, which was reported, and that's what it looked
got
like.
Got beat a couple times, even on the last play. It looked like Brady went after him on a throw to
fatigue.
Welker.
Just total
Brady
fatigue.
One hopped it, and as soon as it ended, he went over to the sideline, got down on one knee, had his head down. Looked like he was, as you said, gassed.
Yeah, and that was during the hurry-up offense, so he had to stay on the field.
Couple plays in a row, they were in that dime package.
Yeah, and like you said, Brady smelled blood, saw that right away, went right to Welker. The throw was a little off.
Yes.
But Welker certainly had him beat. A lot of special teams in these practices today, particularly the punters got a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
But our favorite drill where the return men have the ball in one hand and have to one-handed catch the punts as they come. What stood out to you guys today? What's the news of the day in your minds from these two practices, day two?
The news of the day.
Most exciting. What stood out to you from either or both practices?
Well, I don't know if it's certainly not the news of the day, but you just referenced the punts.
Mm-hmm.
On my update on Patriots.com, I focused a little bit on Julian Edelman for Hot and Not because I think he has looked pretty good at receiver, has been doing better, I think, than he was early in camps when he first got on the field at receiver as a converted quarterback. But today was back deep with the regulars that you talked about, the Welkers, the Falks, the Galloways, who do the hold one ball, catch a punt with the other hand. Edelman was back there with no balls in his hand and finished the play with no ball in his hand because he didn't catch the first two punts.
He struggled.
Bounced off his chest the first one, missed the second, caught the third, got a mock cheer. Mm-hmm. As they continue to look for ways, and that's where we are right now in camp. They're trying everything out. I mean, this is the early stages of things that'll be kind of refined as we move on. Punt return might not be one of the roles that you can attach to Julian Edelman's name.
Yeah, I thought with all the passing work that they did, especially in the afternoon practice, Brady, I think he spoke after the morning practice and talked very enthusiastically about being out here and being back and how much he missed being part of this. He said last year, you're on the team, but you're really not a part of the team. And right now he's very much a part of the team and talked a lot about a growing appreciation for what he was around and what he was missing. And I think on the field, he's throwing the ball very well. He's had a couple of miss, he's not been perfect.
To be expected.
I don't
want to
say that.
Two.
Yeah. Right. I don't want to say that he's completely, 68% completions like he is in the regular season and whatnot and looking like he was in 2007. He missed some throws today. He was upset with himself on occasion, one in particular to Alex Smith. But I think Brady looks good. And I think given what he's coming back from and the physical state of his knee, I think the Patriots fans have to be very happy with where Tom Brady is right now. Now, might be a different story with the backups. And we've talked about Andy made a comment about, I'm not so sure I feel real good about things if they get stuck in a situation like last year.
I think all three of them have struggled so far.
And I know
in various
could,
drills,
and I know
various
you could say
ways.
That last year as well, but you didn't have a guy, you don't have a guy now, I should say, that had been around 3 or 4 years.
The difference is, I think last year, Bill Belichick would have stamped his backup duties on Matt Cassel. I think he was pretty confident in Matt Cassel 4 years in. I'm not sure if you could give him the truth serum and ask him right now about his three backups, how good he'd feel if Brady went down week 1, week 7, whenever it is. I think they are all a work in progress. Different strengths, weaknesses, variable skills. To me, O'Connell still looks raw. He came in last year as an athlete, a raw talent, a third-round pick.
Yep.
He still looks raw. His accuracy is off at times. It looks to me like he's still thinking about throwing the football rather than just throwing it. But then every once in a while, he makes a nice, he had a nice completion.
The 2-minute drill late in practice today in the afternoon was the best I've seen him look in the four
practices.
So
you get that taste, but if he's going to play, it can't be a taste. It needs to be the bulk of four quarters of the game have to be good. You need to know what you're getting, and I'm not sure he's at that point in his development just yet.
So this topic, backup quarterback, segues very nicely into a question that Bill Belichick was asked today at his press conference, and that being his interest or not in free agent quarterback Michael Vick. Gave sort of an interesting answer, I thought, to a couple of people who tried to press him on that issue. Guys, what did you think of Bill's answer to that question today?
Well, I thought he was smart in that he's not necessarily looking to give information and tip his hand. He's not going to say, I'm completely closing the door on that. I thought he was pretty clear that it really hadn't come up. I don't think there's been discussions within the organization, at least I don't think he was willing to disclose whether or not there have been discussions within the organization, whether it be between Robert Kraft and himself in the personnel department or otherwise. But I still, you know, my mind tells me I still don't see it as a real possibility. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. I think you have to say the chances are slim for every team. I think every team, it's slim chances. You don't assume they're going to be the ones to sign him. There's been a lot of speculation, internet rumors, where Michael Vick is. He was on a plane at this airport, whatever. All that's fine and dandy, but talk to me when he signs a contract with an NFL team. I still have yet to hear a team that says, you know, we're interested or seems to be showing true interest. I think there might be some, you know, just the agent, you know, that he was close to signing with a team and these things. I think the agent's trying to drum up some interest in his client to
try to
get him.
Which is a smart move. And
that's his job.
You mentioned that this afternoon, Andy.
That's his job. I mean, Drew Rosenhaus, those guys, that's how they make money, by making things happen for their clients. And I don't fault them for that. But that said, you know, I think there's more smoke in New England than there is fire, because I think all the smoke is being created by rumors and media and internet. I don't think we've had any reason out of this stadium to believe, sure, they're the top contenders to land Michael Vick.
But I do think it's interesting, like Paul mentioned, that especially with a lot of teams coming out and saying definitively, one, you know, we have no interest in this guy, Bill's perfectly happy to say, well, you know, we'll take everything into consideration.
But Bill doesn't definitively say
anything.
Yeah, he really does.
Why would you?
Rule things out, and he doesn't definitively say
we are going
to do it, and I think that he is smart in that regard.
Right. But the interesting thing I thought today was yesterday, some questions asked of him were dancing around the topic. Today, it got a little bit more on point.
Well, he was asked directly.
The questions were more pointed today.
Directly asked, would you have interest in signing Michael Vick? That was, I don't know if that was exactly word for word, but that was the gist of what he was asked today. And he was kind of forced to at least give an answer. I don't think he answered it, you know, probably.
Yes, he didn't come with a yes or no.
With a complete certainty, but he had to answer it. You know, yesterday he didn't have to answer it. He could speak in generalities.
Any other closing thoughts, guys, after 2 days and four full practices, full pads practices of 2009 Patriots training camp?
I think we've seen a ton. Paul talked about the passing game, some 2 minute today, a lot of stuff going on offense, Moss in and out a lot. There's also a lot going on defense, and we've talked about cornerback being one of the most competitive positions. Spring's not out there. Spring's out there. Will Hyde out there getting starting reps, not out there. Lee Bodden has kind of been a fixture on one side, but even today, Darius Butler saw a heck of a lot of Randy Moss. At times, he looked like a rookie covering Randy Moss. Yeah. 1 point, Moss may have pushed off a little bit, but made it look oh so easy, sort of batting away the gnat that was the rookie corner for a nice completion from Brady.
That was insane.
But I thought we saw a lot. You know, James Sanders was not a part of some dime packages. Patrick Chung was. Even the newest guy on the team, Hernandez Jones, was in the slot in some nickel and dime stuff. So a new face getting. There's a lot going on there in terms of coverage in the secondary and all those packages.
Yeah, what I thought about that I really liked is my guy Butler, who you brought up, Andy.
I'm going to start calling him Team Butler or Team Drills Butler, because I see him getting beat up in all these different one-on-ones and seven-on-seven. Then all of a sudden I thought he looked pretty good in team this morning when Randy Moss wasn't on the field. It wasn't quite as pretty.
But I liked late they had the two-minute drills they're working on offensively. They had a nickel package out there. In the first group of nickelbacks, they had Butler on the outside. And then the second group came in. Butler stayed on the field but moved inside to the slot. I like that.
Well,
clearly they want to see they want him to be involved in a lot of different ways, and they're probably trying to see exactly what they have in terms of the different coverages in the different areas.
The best sign for your boy in terms of he's going to be a contributor on this defense, I believe, as a rookie, is Bill Belichick saying he's doing a lot of things now that he's never done. We're asking him to do things he didn't do at UConn. And the fact that he's being asked to do things he's never done and ending up in groups that includes guys like Merriweather and Lee Bodden and some of the top players at their positions tells me when he gets it, when he's comfortable doing those things, he's going to be on the field making plays or at least trying to make plays for this team.
Right.
And I think that's a good sign. We saw it last year. Guys like Wheatley, who hadn't done things, didn't get on the field early on. Will Hite got on the field because he'd done the same things before. So I think for Butler to be in the position he's in day two, I think things are looking up for him early in camp.
Two-a-days down, five more to go on this seven-in-a-row stretch of two-a-days to start training camp this year. We're less than 2 weeks away from the first Patriots preseason game, but there's a lot of football, a lot of practice time between now and then. We're going to keep you up to date here, not only on this podcast, but on Patriots.com, on the PFW blog, on PFW in Progress, our radio show Tuesdays and Thursdays at noon.
We're everywhere.
We really are everywhere.
It's the synergistic power of Patriots.com.
It's training camp for us too. We have to get into this regular season mode again, but we're here for you.
I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
Well, thanks, Pete. Boy, he's taking shots from the West Coast.
It's jealous.
Still very bitter. Still very bitter. But for Andy, Paul, I'm Eric. We'll see you this weekend. Two-a-days continue tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.